Good evening and welcome once again to our online gospel mission coming to you from Six Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church. We are delighted you're joining with us on this Saturday night, and we do want to thank you even for spending this time around God's precious word with us. We were delighted with each one who joined in last night, and we want to thank you even for making that effort to come again this evening. You know, the gospel is wonderful, it is good news, and it's the only way even to have our sins forgiven us through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death and his resurrection from the dead. We're living in strange times, we're living in difficult and hard days, and we do rejoice that we have the good news to tell, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we do pray that as you listen this evening to both the singing and indeed to the preaching of God's word, that your heart will be touched, that the Spirit will work within you, and even before this night is out, if you're not saved, it is our earnest prayer that the Lord would have mercy upon you and save your precious soul. We're delighted now to once again to hand over to the Reverend McRae. And we do pray that the Lord will bless the remainder of this time together.
Once again, we welcome you to our gospel service this evening, and we pray that God will continue to bless us as we gather around God's precious and God's infallible word. We want to turn our Bibles to Luke's Gospel and the chapter number 8. And I want to read some verses from God's precious infallible truth from verse number 40 of Luke's Gospel chapter 8. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could any or could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how that she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible truth for his name's sake and for his glory. Amen. Let's just seek the face of God in prayer as we come to ask the Lord's blessing upon the preaching of his precious, infallible book. Heavenly Father, once again we thank and we praise thee that we have a word that is in season for our hearts tonight as we gather round thy precious word. We thank and we praise thee that thou hast provided in thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a wonderful and glorious salvation, saved through Jesus' blood. And O God, I pray that as I come now to the ministry of thy word, that thou wilt give me the help that I need. O Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Anoint me with fresh oil and help me, our God, to preach Christ in all his beauty, in all his wonder, in all his grace. We thank thee, our Father, we can say with the words of the hymn writer, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Cover me in the precious blood, and Lord, fill me with thy Holy Spirit, and may Christ alone be glorified in this gathering through the ministry of thy word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And amen." Once again, we come to God's precious and God's infallible book. And in this Bible, we find that it's filled with many impossible or hopeless cases that as far as man is concerned, there's absolutely no hope. They would say no hopers. But thank God there is a blessed hope and assurance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you read this passage of God's word, it's also referred in the 5th chapter of the book of Mark's Gospel. You find the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he is the one who can conquer every situation, no matter what it is. For example, first of all, we find that in the 4th chapter of Mark's Gospel, that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the ship with his disciples. And there as he rests upon the hinder part of the ship and falls asleep on a pillow, how that the storm arose. The Bible says there was a great wind and there was a great storm and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And the disciples, they were troubled. Some of these were very experienced fishermen, men that had often sailed upon the Sea of Galilee. And yet they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" What an awful charge to make against the Lord Jesus Christ. "Carest thou not that we perish?" You know, God sent His Son into this world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Men and women are perishing in their sin. But thank God Jesus came so that they could and would not perish, but have everlasting life. But these disciples and that ship, they were the saints of the Lord Jesus. Master, do you not care that we perish? And the Lord Jesus arose, and He rebuked the wind, and He said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Here we see He's the master of the deep. And then you come into the 5th chapter of Mark's Gospel, and you find the demonic Gadara, and we see that He is the master of demons. Thank God the demons had to leave the man that had been possessed with that unclean spirit. And the Lord Jesus Christ delivered him. And he sat at the feet of Jesus in peace and in his right mind. What a wonderful change the Lord Jesus makes in a heart and a life. The hymn writer said, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. He is the master of the deep. He is the master of the demons. Thank God He is the master of death. Because we find Jairus' daughter was dead. But the Lord Jesus Christ entered into the room where Jairus' little girl was. And the Lord Jesus took her by the hand and He said, damsel, or little lamb, He says, it's time to get up. I say unto thee, arise. And we find this little girl is delivered unto her mother and her father. What a wonderful, wonderful occasion. What a change the Lord Jesus Christ made in the life of Jairus and his family circle. But you know, we find that when the Lord Jesus was making His way to Jairus' home, the Word of God tells us another story. Because we find there was a woman. And here we find we had a man, we have a child, but here is a woman. And she is in tremendous need. And here we see the Lord Jesus Christ is the master over disease. Over the deep, over the demons, over death, over disease. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to conquer them all. And I don't care what your situation is. As you listen to this preacher tonight, I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God He's able to bring deliverance to your soul. He's able to change your life and change your situation, never to be the same again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. But I want you to come and look at this woman and what happens in the story as the Lord Jesus Christ delivers her. The Bible says here, a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which has spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. First thing I want you to notice is her distress. Because the Bible tells us she had an issue of blood. In other words, she was hemorrhaging. And there was a flow of blood. This is a very sick woman. Can you imagine? For 12 long years, this has been going on. And with that loss of blood, my, she was getting weaker and weaker. She was getting anemic. My, there was no energy at all. And of course, that's the picture of the sinner. Because the Bible tells us that at that time we were without strength. And therefore, humanly speaking, we have no energy. We have no strength. We are so weak of ourselves. There's absolutely nothing that you and I can do for ourselves to save our precious, never-dying soul. And here's the sinner on their way to hell. And of themselves, they're absolutely and completely and totally helpless to do anything for themselves. She couldn't get better of herself. And my friend, I don't care how you try to change your life or try to make, as it were, changes in what you're doing and the road that you're traveling. By nature, you are a sinner, and of yourselves, there's absolutely nothing that you can do to change that situation. By one man, the Bible says, sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And here's a woman, no matter what she tried, she still couldn't get better by herself. In other words, she was living under a sentence. Every day she was getting closer and closer and closer to death. She was under the sentence of death. And dear sinner, I want to tell you, you're under that sentence too, because you are condemned in your sin. And without healing, this woman was headed to the grave. Now let me make this clear to you. Without the healing touch for your sin-sick soul, you're headed not only to the grave, you're headed to hell. And that has got to be said in love to your soul. With all my heart, I want to tell you, sinner, the situation that you're in, the distress that your situation is, it's so awful that you, if you continue the road you're going, and without the blessed salvation of the Lord, you're headed to hell itself, to be lost in a Christless eternity, because without Christ there is no salvation. But I want you to notice not only her distress, and I wonder, are you distressed over your sin? Does it bother you? Does it really bother you that you're still held in the bondage of sin? And if you died as you are, you would be lost for all eternity. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 8? He said, ye shall die in your sin. He says, I go my way. The Lord Jesus had come to them, and the Lord had visited them. The Lord had spoken to them. But my friend, they had rejected him. They despised him. They turned away from him. And he said, I go my way. And he says, ye shall die in your sin. And then he said this, and where I am, ye cannot come. My friend, does that distress you? Does that trouble you? Are you so hardened in your sin that it doesn't bother you? You're traveling the road to hell. How many today and tonight are dancing their way to hell? And my, they're drinking and boozing their way to hell. And they're living their lives in immorality on their way to hell. And it doesn't bother them at all. That's the way they want to live. And they say, well, I'm enjoying the road. Ah, friend, listen. The pleasures of sin are only for a season. Here we see this woman, and she had a distress. Oh, that God would trouble you. Oh, that God would really speak to your heart and show you the awfulness of your situation and the lostness of your soul. That you would cry out unto God to save you and to change your soul and situation, and to change your eternal destiny instead of hell to heaven itself. Here was her distress, but notice her desire. Because the Bible says here, she had this issue of blood for 12 years, but she spent all her living upon physicians. In other words, she did not want to continue another day as she was. Is that true of you? You don't want to continue in your sin anymore. Listen, she longed for healing. She longed that she would be delivered from this awful sickness. You see, her sickness had left her isolated. Her sickness had reduced her to begging. You see, I want you to understand that under the law, this woman was condemned as unclean. Read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 15, and you'll find there, because of this, she was condemned as unclean. In fact, anything or anyone who touched her was considered unclean as well. In other words, she couldn't mingle, not even with her family, not even with her loved ones, because the sickness had driven her out. Because if they were to touch her, they were regarded unclean. Also, she could not worship in the woman's court of the temple because of her uncleanness and because of her sickness. You say to me, how do you know that she longed for healing? Because the Bible says that she tried many physicians. It says she spent all her living upon physicians. You see, she didn't simply sit idly by and say, well, there's nothing I can do about this. And there's nothing I need to do about it. No, she recognized her condition. She longed that it would be changed, that her life would be turned around completely, that she would be delivered and declared clean. Oh, friend, I wonder, do you recognize your serious condition before God? Can you say with the words of the hymn, I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord, now I'm coming home? Or are you just going on, heedless and careless? I tell you, if you are, you're in a serious position. You're in a precarious position. Here was a woman, yes, she had a distress over her sickness, but she had a desire. I long to be healed. Oh, I would that God would bring those days back again in Ulster, for men and women sitting under the gospel would so be brought under such conviction, that would long, they would cry out, oh God, save me, Lord, save me. Save me for the glory of Jesus. Change my life completely. Yes, she tried. She spent all her living upon physicians. She tried. Maybe I'm talking to someone tonight and you say, well, preacher, I've tried. I've tried church. I've tried religion. Preacher, I've tried rituals. I've tried praying. I've tried paying. I've tried self-effort. But let me tell you, my dear friend, the situation that you're in, remember, you of yourself can't change it. That's why I'm not saying try Jesus. I say to you in God's name, trust Him. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. She had a distress over her condition. And I pray, oh God, bring that back again. I long for those days. I remember preaching in gospel missions and seeing people sitting in the pews and the tears running down their cheeks as you warned them about the awfulness of their sin and the terror of hell for a Christless eternity. And yet today, many men and women can listen to those same messages, but they're totally unconcerned. Doesn't seem to bother them. And they can come and they can go from the house of the holy in their sin. Even say to the preacher, that was a good message. And yet, friend, they're near hell than ever before. Because the Spirit of God hasn't really gripped them. Oh, that the grip of the Spirit of God would come back again and take control of our meetings and so fill the preachers as they preach, that men and women will cry out as they did in days that are past, preacher, stop! Stop! I feel that I'm dropping into hell, lead me to Christ. That happened in days of revival, friend. The Spirit of God moved in mighty power. Robert Murray McShane, whenever he was preaching sinners in the hands of an angry God, men and women were holding on to the very pillars in the church. They could feel the very pew moving from and underneath them, and they felt they were dropping into hell itself. Yes, distressed over her condition. But she had an earnest desire. She longed. She longed for healing. But then notice something else. Notice her disappointment. Because the Bible says this. This woman, she spent all her living upon physicians. Neither could be healed of any. Mark's Gospel tells us, in actual fact, she was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Think of the torment in her mind as she grew worse. After all her trying,
She was worse than ever before. What a disappointment. She felt hopeless. An outcast. You think that whenever she went to another physician and she gave him all that she could give him, but he could do nothing for her. Until she spent all her living. Now she's penniless. She's now a beggar. She sits down, defeated, discouraged. As the Word of God tells in Ephesians chapter 2, without God, having no hope in this world. Is that where you are? Maybe you've gone to speak to someone. You hope that they would bring a word that would encourage you. I remember a man coming to me along the border when I was a member of parliament for Mid-Ulster. He came to me to talk about his situation. I listened to what all he had to say and I gave the best advice that I could give, but humanly speaking, I could not change his situation and that family situation. He said to me, well, I suppose, Mr. McCrae, all I can do is just... He says, you know, I went to my minister and he told me, well, listen, sir, it'll all work out for good. I said to him, sir, I didn't read that verse. He said to me, what do you mean? He said, but my preacher told me, sure, it'll all work out together for good. Well, I said to him, I do know a verse, however. In Romans chapter 8, it says, and we know that all things work together for good. She said, that's it, that's it. I said, no, listen to the rest of the verse. All things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. I said, friend, I have to be honest. As a preacher, I have to ask you, are you in the verse? Because you can't claim the promise if you're not in the verse. And maybe, friends, you're holding on to something and you say, well, listen, my mother was saved or my father was saved or I've got godly children. Let me tell you, that will not take you to heaven. You say, well, I'm depending on my preacher. Let me tell you, my friend, I don't care who he is. Your preacher can't get you into heaven. The preacher's not the way to heaven. Jesus says, I'm the way. Jesus Christ, the only way, the truth, the life. There is one God, and there's but one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ, Jesus. And here was a woman, and after all that she had spent, she was without hope. Her life is a mess. She has no future. But then I want you to notice something happened in the midst of this all. Because Mark's Gospel chapter 5 says this, when she had heard of Jesus. I want you to notice her deeds. In the midst of her distress, in the midst of her hopelessness, as she was drawing closer and closer to death, somebody told her about Jesus. I want to tell you, my friend, the person that tells you that you're a sinner and you need God's salvation and that your only hope is in Jesus Christ, that person is your friend. When she heard about Jesus, she heard that Jesus was the answer. Friend, that's true too. Tonight, Christ is the answer. Dr. Alan Kearns wrote a book, it's now The New Beginning, but it used to be called Christ is the Answer. I remember outside Macrofelt there was a home, member of the security forces. He was also a part-time member of the security forces, but he also drove a lorry. That was his daily job. And every morning he would rise in the morning, his mother would pack his lunch, and then she would see him out through the door, and she would wait to hear the engine start, and the lorry going down the road, and then she would go back into bed, rest a little while, for he started in the early hours of the morning, around 6. And she breathed a sigh of relief. He was safe. Another day. But one morning, mother got his lunch, gave him his breakfast, got her young son ready to go out for his day's work. He went out, and his mother did in the past, and she would make her way down to the bedroom and sit at the side of the bed, praying that God would take her son safely another day. She heard the engine start of the lorry. Then all of a sudden she could hear the rat-a-tat-tat of gunfire. And she made her way to jump up off the bed, turning out to her son. But one of those bullets came through the window of that bedroom. And mother was shot. Mother lay down on that bed, dead. Her son was spared, but the mother was gone. I remember going into that home, standing at the side of that coffin. And there on the top of the coffin where people would come in to view that dear lady lying in that coffin. There that little book was at the front for everyone to see. Christ is the answer. And he still is. There's no one can change your situation but Jesus. There's no one can heal your sin-sick soul but Jesus. There's no one can pardon you if your awful sin that stains your soul and will take you down to hell itself but the Lord Jesus Christ. And she heard of Jesus. I don't know how she heard. Maybe it was she heard of how the leper was healed. Maybe she heard about the news that spread about what the Lord had done with the demon of Gadara, how he was delivered. But somewhere, somehow, some way, she heard about the power in the touch of Jesus. And deep within her heart, she said, I need to get to Jesus. I need to get to Jesus. And beloved, so do you. You need to get to Jesus. For Jesus was our only hope. And out of Christ, you have no hope. Only in Christ. But there was problems. Do you remember Zacchaeus? He wanted to see Jesus, but there was a big crowd and he was a small man. But he was determined. He was determined to see Jesus, for he was to pass that way. But little did Zacchaeus know that Jesus was passing the last time. If he had not seen Jesus that day, he had never have met with Jesus at all. For Jesus was going on his way to the cross.
never to return that way again. Here we find this woman had problems. Because you see, if anyone recognized her, she had been, would have been open to public humiliation, scorn, ridicule. Natural fact. If they had recognized her, she could have been beaten and even stoned to death. Because anyone touching her would be ceremonially defiled and unclean. But you know, her need was so great. She was willing to risk everything to get to Jesus. Can tell me, is the crowd keeping you away from Christ? Is the crowd blockading your way? The Word of God says the fear of man, it brings a snare. There was a crowd around the Lord Jesus that day. For an actual fact, whenever he had returned from the healing and deliverance of the man, the demon of Gadara, the crowd there at the Gadarenes, they told Jesus to leave. But when Jesus came here, we find that they were glad to receive him. They were waiting for him. And the crowd went with him. How is she going to get to Jesus? Remember, 12 long years. She was so weak. She was bent over by her weakness. And the crowd was in her way. But she was so determined. It would take all her energy and take all her determination. But she's so desperate. I've got to get to Jesus. Are you desperate to get to Jesus tonight? In her desperation, she made her way through that crowd and she reached out her hand. And finally she touched the hem of his garment. For she said in her heart, this is the faith she had, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be healed. The touch of faith. And friend, Ephesians 2 says, for by grace, that's undeserved, unmerited favor of God, by grace are you saved through faith. And you've got to come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've got to rest upon what he promised in his word. For he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Bible says she came behind him and she touched the border of his garment. She wasn't trying to make a display of herself. No, she was only so happy if I could only but touch the hem of his garment. That was the finished part of the garment. And friend, that's what you have got to touch. The finished work of Christ. That's where you're to rest your soul. On what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did for you. At the place called Calvary. For Jesus Christ shed his precious blood, and on the cross of Calvary he cried, it is finished. She was driven by her need, but she was drawn by faith. Is that you? That was her deed, friend. But notice, her deliverance. Because the Bible says, immediately her issue of blood stanched. Or as Mark's Gospel says, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Here's her deliverance. Immediately. Healed. Let me tell you, my friend. The moment you call on Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin, resting your soul upon what Jesus did for you at the place called Calvary, and you call out upon the name of the Lord, save me. Thank God, immediately. The work was done. Nobody else touched Jesus for her. It had to be a personal touch. And friend, you can't come to Jesus for somebody else. Mum, you can't come to Christ for your children. There must be a personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And with trembling hands, she reached out that hand of faith. And immediately, she was delivered. I guarantee you on the authority of God's word, then, that if you call upon the name of the Lord to save you, He'll hear your cry. He is the God who cannot lie. Now notice something else here. Notice her declaration. Because whenever she touched the Lord Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And everyone around the Lord Jesus, they denied. And Peter said, and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me." Somebody. You see, friend, the crowd around the Lord Jesus Christ would have touched him. But not like that woman. It was the touch of faith. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him, listen to this, before all the people, for what cause she had touched him, and how that she was healed immediately. You see, there was only one that touched Jesus. She knew that she was not hid, and neither are you, friend. You can't hide from the Lord. Adam and Eve tried to hide in the garden, and they couldn't. The Lord called them out. He says, "Adam, where art thou?" But the lovely part is this. This woman comes trembling before the Lord Jesus, and she falls down. And before all the people, she gave her testimony. She not only said, "Lord, it was me. I touched you, Lord. I touched you." But she says, "Lord, in front of all those people, remember? She was an outcast. She was unclean as far as the crowd was concerned. She could not stand in the woman's court of the temple. She spent everything, was down to begging. But she said, not only, 'Lord, I touched you,' but she said before all the people, 'For what cause she touched them?' She said, 'Lord, for 12 long years, I've been hemorrhaging, driven out because of it. I've tried everything, Lord, every physician, and the penniless. Until the moment I touched you.' And then she said, what cause she had touched him, and how that she was healed immediately. Says, 'Lord, I'm healed.'
Before the crowd, Jesus healed me. Jesus healed me.
Friend, he can heal you too.
It is no secret what God can do for what he did for her.
Hallelujah. He can do for you. The last thought is this. Her delight. Remember, she came trembling. Perhaps she thought that Jesus was going to rebuke her. But notice what Jesus said. He says, daughter. Daughter.
Remember, she'd been driven out because of her sickness.
He was saying the word of relationship. You're in my family. You're my child. You're my daughter. A word of tenderness. A word of acceptance. A word of love. And that's the only time Jesus called a person by that name. That day, not only did she get healing physically, she got healing spiritually. She was brought into a relationship of love with Christ. He said, daughter, be of good comfort. Rejoice. Rejoice. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Then he said these words. Go in peace. Listen to me, friend. For 12 long years, she never knew what peace was. She lay down, and in the morning she would rise, hopeless, helpless, distressed, despairing, defeated, discouraged. But there was one thing she hadn't got. She hadn't peace. But Jesus says, go. Go in peace. And praise God she did. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Christ is the answer. There's no situation too hard. There's no one too hopeless for Jesus. Jeremiah asked the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? But notice in that chapter, it was answered before it was asked. Ah, Lord God, there is nothing too hard for thee. So now will you come to him? You say, how do I come? You come just as you are. You have no plea to make but that Jesus' blood was shed for thee. And then he bids you come right now. Will you say, O Lamb of God, I come. Come and welcome. Jesus. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to our hearts. Stir us, we pray. Grant that precious souls will come by faith to Jesus Christ tonight and be saved for all eternity. Amen. God bless you.